All right, so I want to start today. I want to start with this video. And because I want to talk to you, as we look at the orphan mindset today, I want to talk to you about influence. What kind of influence are we impacting the kingdom with? Because if you get on Facebook, oh my gosh, every day there's a new argument, isn't there? Now, I can be a little argumentative at times, especially if I think I'm right. We've got a wonderful series out there called Would You Rather Be Right or Have a Relationship? Well, many times I'd rather be right, because usually I won't argue with you unless I know I'm right. Most of the time, right, Katie? Most of the time. But you see, it really and truly is all about our influence as far as what kind of legacy are we going to leave the next generation. So I want to show you this quick video about a man that's having huge impact right now. And I'm just going to let the video explain it, show itself. Explain itself.
Hello, Shiloh Place Ministry, and congratulations on 25 years of impacting lives. My name is Clint Gresham, and I spent 6 years as the long snapper for the Seattle Seahawks. And I was absolutely moved by experiencing Father's embrace to the point that I felt like I needed to get this book into the hands of as many NFL guys as I could. The NFL is a surrogate father to so many men, and I saw the damaging effects of what happens when you have to perform for love on a major, major level. And so I support this ministry, and thank you so much for what you bring to the kingdom of God in this world. God bless you guys.
His name is Clint Gresham, as he said, and he was the long snapper that helped to take Seattle Seahawks to the Super Bowl a couple years ago. They won the Super Bowl, and the next year they went back to the Super Bowl. Anybody in here like football? Well, the Seattle Seahawks are my team. I don't like football. I don't know anything about football. But Clint Gresham called us on the phone one day because he had heard about this book. And he read this book, and he bought a case of these books, and he put them in the hands of every NFL player on his team and plus other teams. Now, we've heard testimony, or we've heard reports, people like the quarterback. What's his name? Russell Wilson's? Yeah. Big famous quarterback. He's read our book, you know, and things that have changed his life. So, influence. You can have this same kind of influence, because it doesn't matter if it's for one person or if it's for millions of persons, if you are obedient. And I love what Clint said, you know, the world, you know, has put up this environment to where we must perform for love. And Father has set it up. No, I've already created an environment that you are loved in. So it's just a matter of removing those things that hinder us from receiving His love and giving it away. It's as simple as that. You know, people try to make the kingdom of God so profound or so whatever. And it's just that simple. Receive His love and give it away. And if you can't give it away, then let's identify the orphan mindsets. Those things, those lies that we've embraced that keep you stuck in a situational crisis. Now, who in here would like to read this book and you don't have it yet? Thank you. All righty. And real quickly, and I know we're running behind, and I do have a timer set up here for each session. You know, we're not going to end at 10:45 because it's almost 10:45 right now. But we will end within 45 minutes. All right. Here's probably our number one best-selling thing that we do. We do have a tape table out there. I don't want to spend a lot of time here. You know why? I don't want you to come to this seminar this weekend if you don't leave and something's changed about your life. You just wasted a weekend. And so how does this message affect you? And how, you know how I knew it worked? When Jack got a hold of this revelation of the Father's love, when Jack Winter prayed for Jack Frost to have a revelation of the Father's love, the first thing he did with it was bring it home to his family. And he repented to us for every way he had misrepresented love to his family. And that's what changed him. That's what changed him from being an emotionally detached person, closed and guarded, to a person that welcomes his family first. And the whole story behind that is on healing the hearts of the family. So firsthand, I see, is usually who I give it to. I saw your hand first. There you go. All right, and this is what we're talking about all this weekend. This is what I'm going to be talking about at Randy Clark's when you guys are there. It's From Spiritual Slavery to Sonship. We just redid the cover of this, And it's all about the orphan mindset and how we're going to compare the orphan mindset to the heart of sonship. B, I'm going to give this to you as a thank you for everything you've done for me this weekend. All right, so where do we go then? Choices, choices, choices. There are two things I feel that if you really and truly want to get a hold of this message, there's two minor things we have to do. We have to identify those orphan issues, the places in our heart to where we've embraced a lie that we have no value. And as we identify that, then we replace it with a heart of sonship. See, some people call this, isn't she cute? She is just the cutest little thing. Some people call this the spirit. I don't believe this is a spirit because, you know, I just feel like it's heart attitudes. You know, it's more of a heart attitude than a demonic spirit. Somebody asked me this morning, well, you know, what do you do with darkness? Well, I don't know about you guys. If I go back there and this room is dark, do I cast the darkness out? I cut the light on. So here I am. See, you guys, some of you are going to judge me as being prideful, but I love this gal. I used to not like me. I used to not feel like I belonged anywhere. I used to feel like I didn't have any value whatsoever. And with this message, it changed everything. It changed how I see the world. It changed how I teach. It changed how I love. Because I don't love with the eyes of judgment anymore. I love with the eyes of destiny. And that's why the prophetic flows so well. Do you guys know Lauren Sanford, John and Paula Sanford's son? He's a big prophet in the world. And, you know, the church has opened its arms back up to the prophetic. It closed it down for a long time. So I was in Lauren's church a few years ago, and I asked Lauren, I said, Lauren, tell me why the prophetic is welcome back into the church now. And here's what he said, and it pertains to the orphan mindset. The prophets are no longer angry. See, that was the problem. That's why it wasn't so much that it was, you know, everybody was scared of a prophet. Prophets come across angry. And when prophets get a hold of this revelation of love, it's the truth. It's the truth because the world doesn't want an angry edge. You know, we've had that with our earthly parents. We don't want an angry edge. We want that place to where, can I touch you? I want to touch your chest. Where we feel safe. And that's what they're going to be drawn to. Because you see, sons aren't going to come to an orphanage. They need a home. They need a home. Now, there's a difference between anger and passion. I get so passionate about things sometimes that sometimes it can be misunderstood as anger. It's the motive of the heart. I'm not angry. I'm passionate. I am passionate about you finding your destiny and living it. And I'll put myself in your life to help you understand hindrances and get them out of the way. See, there's a huge difference. So, all right, now, they gave me permission to be mama. And as a mama, I just kind of step into things because I leave tomorrow. And I might say some things, and please, I didn't come here to offend anybody, but I'm just saying some things. If you get a hold of this revelation of the orphan mindset versus the heart of sonship, it will change your community. It will change your world because people will feel so valued by you. See, the message that we need as a church to send is that you belong. And if you belong, then you will believe enough to become whatever it is God intentionally made you for. But the sad thing is that the message the church has sent is you got to become before you belong. That's performance-based. That's performance-driven. And if you become whatever it is you're supposed to come to meet my expectations, then I'll create an environment where you belong so you can believe that you belong there. Well, I don't want to belong there anymore.
That's right.
I already belong. And see, when I got a hold of this revelation, it started offending people around me. Not because I deliberately, but because love offends. Amen. When I look at someone, honest to goodness, I don't have to judge you anymore. We women, we're so catty. Walk in a room, she got a hole in her shirt. try. I thought this top was going to cover up that. And then I realized, you know what? It's a shirt. It's a shirt. I look stylish. It's a blouse, whatever. But you see, I know who I am, so I don't have to walk in a room and judge anybody by your clothing, your hair, your size, or whatever. You're daddy's kid. Amen. You're my assignment for today. I am excited. And when we get that kind of revelation, we truly are operating as sons. And when I say sons, I mean daughters. You know, we're sons' daughters. There's no respecter of persons in the kingdom. So, anyway, I love this message. See why I love this message? It changes lives everywhere we go. I was in a church in Charlotte last week, and there was a guy there, and I declare he looked like Colonel Sanders. And so sometimes God will just give me those little images in my head, you know. And so I walked up to him and I go, anybody ever tell you that you look? And before I could finish it, he went, like Colonel Sanders. But the word that God had for him was, you know, you really do have an original recipe. And I said, your chicken years ago, I said, it's been defiled now. It doesn't taste as good as it used to. But years ago, it's true. I know. They've done something. But anyway, so I told him, I said, the Lord wants you to know you have an original recipe. There's a vision inside of you. Now, this guy was older than me, totally white-headed. Looked just like Colonel Sanders. And I laid my hands on him. I said, there's a vision inside of you that has been changed or died or something happened to it. And the Lord wants you to know he's stirring it up again. He's stirring it up again. Because you're my son. You're my son. He texted me yesterday on the way here, one of those texts that's about like that. And he goes, you won't believe what happened. And I won't share all the details. But he said, this vision, this dream that I've kind of put way back here, all of a sudden when you released that over me and I accepted the call of God on my life, he goes, this, and this fell into place. And this, and this was just dropped in my hands. See, when we remove the hindrances of why we can't become or believe that we belong, everything changes. And we're going to talk about that Sunday. We're going to talk about the prosperity gospel. Oh, no, you ain't. Oh, yes, I am. Because it didn't work. The prosperity gospel has let a lot of us down. And we're going to talk about that Sunday. So I encourage you to be here Sunday. But I want to be an influencer of people. But I only want to influence them this way. Love is a gift, not a reward. You know, it's a gift. It's not a reward. Anybody in this room ever felt so bad or done something like that little girl last night with the Cool Whip? Oh, was that not the best vest video? I love my Cool Whip. And so many of us go back to our Cool Whip. But have you ever done anything that you felt so bad that you could never recover from? Well, that's the enemy talking to you. I love what Bill Johnson says. He goes, when we get into being critical, especially critical of ourselves, the only thing we've proven is that we can hear the voice of the devil. Ouch. Ouch. I know. That'll stop you dead in your tracks. I don't even want to say the voice of the devil there. I'm going to put it like this. The only thing we've proven is that we've listened to the voice of an orphan. I'm not an orphan. I'm a son. Guys, I still am living in my process. Let me say this to you. It's not an overnight change. It's not an overnight fix. Life is a process. Stay in the process. If you 51% today, we're only after 1%. If 51% of your life today changes when you walk out of there, and 51% of the time you're able to catch the voice of an orphan mindset, that's progress. I'm happy with that. I'm very happy with that. Because next year it'll be 2 more percent. Next year it'll be 53%. And today I'm somewhere, I would imagine I'm somewhere around 80. And that's not bragging. I'm just saying I catch those things. I catch those attacks. So therefore I don't have to cast the darkness out. I turn the light on. Now I still believe in devils. I don't believe a Christian can be possessed, but I do believe a Christian can be oppressed. And so I do know they're there. It's just they don't like me, so usually they leave me alone. Because they know what I'm going to do with them. I'm going to lock them in a box. And I'm going to throw away the key. Remember that cute little song? You know, Satan's like a sly old fox. I wish I could catch him and put him in a box. I'd lock that box and I'd throw away the key for all those mean tricks he's pulled on me. I've learned the process. And he doesn't like me. But you know why? Because of who I am. And I always was this person. And see, if we as a church, as we as a family can get this revelation and begin to stop in our tracks, when we begin to allow the voice of this orphan mindset to stop us, can you imagine what we'll do for the kingdom? And it's not performance based. It's living destiny. Had you rather not live destiny successfully? You're going to live life. You know, every person, there's so many days that's been written for you. You're going to live them. And again, I'll say this, shame off you for any mistake you feel like you've made. Let's just move forward. Let's just move forward. We may have to look at the past long enough to deal with stuff, but we're not going to stay there. We're not going to blame people. We're going to move forward. And I'm going to move forward with the mind of a son. Here's the one thing. Oh, this used to make me so mad with faith preachers. Just speak the word. Speak the word. How many of you have spoken a word until you're about blue in the face and you want to throat punch the next person that tells you to speak the words? You know, I'm just going to, my son's a state trooper and he taught us how to kill somebody with. And don't you? I mean, I'm just being honest. There are times I just want to hit somebody when they just tell me, well, if you just do this, if you just do that, you don't live in my shoes. But I will say this, that this is why the faith message didn't work for me. I tried to build and plant scriptures in my heart and in my mind in areas that I hadn't uprooted, tore down, overthrown, and destroyed my other mindsets before I built and planted the Word of God. The faith message works 100% of the time. But I would have hit Kenneth Hagin if he'd have told me one more time to just quote the word. And then when I got a hold of Jeremiah 1:10, I want to tell you guys, sometimes you got to get the word in your heart. There's no other way out. When the orphan mindset hits me, you know what stops him dead in his track? All of a sudden, the word of God will just pop into my heart and go, Trisha, remember, I never abandoned you. When Jack died, he never abandoned me. Not one time. Not one time. I tried to find 100 times. I tried to tell him. And he just reminded me, well, I was this happened. I was this. So we really and truly, it's a matter of discipline, guys. And if you don't like discipline, you're not going to like life in the kingdom. You're just not. And I'm just talking about the discipline of replacing the orphan mindset with a heart of sonship. And that's why, again, this message is so, so important. So, Jeremiah, if you don't learn any other scripture in the rest of your life in the kingdom, get Jeremiah 1:10, 11 down. Go in and ask the Lord. See, some of you performance-driven people, you want it all done overnight. And you don't have much grace for yourself or other people when they mess up. But Jeremiah 1:10 says this, uproot, tear down, overthrow, and destroy. So here's my prayer now. My prayer is Psalms 139, 23. Search me, O Lord. I'm not a navel gazer. Search me, O Lord. And as you show me, in one translation it says, wounded, not wicked. As you show me wounded or hurtful ways, I'll deal with them. But you see, here's the deal with Father. He's only going to show you what he's dealing with. Anything else you're dealing with, and whether you like grace or not, if he's not dealing with it, it's under grace. Well, you don't understand, Trisha. They need to do that. Yeah, I do. I'm right with you. I'd like to throat punch some of these people on Facebook sometimes, myself included. Yeah. But the deal is, it's under grace. Your behavior in your life, if you're praying that scripture, now if you're not praying that scripture, you're just lying to yourself. But if you're praying the scripture, Lord, search me and see if there's any hurtful thing in me and lead me to the way.
Amen.
And if you pray that scripture one thing at a time, it'll just all of a sudden pop up. And that's all you need to work on. Again, everything else is under grace. It's under grace. Say it with me. Under grace. Under grace. Some of us need to repent for a lack of grace. So, uproot, overthrow, destroy, and tear down those mindsets that keep us stuck in our situational circumstance. Okay, here's another scripture that I've had to renew my mind with. And I want you to write these ones down. You can go home and look them up later. I want to encourage everybody in this room to get a Passion Translation Bible when it comes out. Right now, it's just one book at a time. In October, the whole New Testament's coming out. And get you a message paraphrase. Because some of us, listen, I'm not a Bible scholar. I don't want a Strong's Concordance. Don't give me one. You know, I'll give it back to you. I have a PhD in biblical theology. I'm just about up to here with another new teaching. What I want is relationship and revelation. And I'm not saying don't study. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I quote scripture to you all day long. But do I apply it? And so here's how I stay free of situational circumstances for the most part. Psalms 45. Well, let me back up. Let me back up to this one scripture. Psalms 139:17. This, because, see, last night we talked about, there's that, you know what, I got the wrong thing up. I mean, my thing didn't save, so we'll come back to it. Last night we talked about our image of who Father God is, you know, and how that's got to change. He's not the cop in the sky, da 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 da. And as we change our image of who Father God is, Psalms 139:17 comes into play. Not many people believe that God thinks about you because it takes away from the sovereignty of God. We make God too familiar. You know, I live with that God for 40 years. I'm 39 years old now, and I've got a hold of this revelation in the last 15 or so years, and I'm going to be with this God. You may not like this God, but I believe this God is personable. He calls himself a father. You know, he calls himself a real father. And so, you guys in here that are fathers, you ever think about your kids? Are your thoughts bad thoughts? Every once in a blue moon, let's be honest. Most of the time when we think about our children. And so Psalms 139:17 says this, and I love this. Many are your thoughts toward me. Say it with me. Many are your thoughts toward me. And their thoughts, they're good thoughts. And it goes on to say, the thoughts he has toward you can't be recounted. How many numbers are there? They're infinite. They're infinity. Okay, now let's back up. See, the religious spirit don't want you to hear this. I'm done with the religious spirit. He don't like me. You know what? But I have authority over him. And so I begin to believe this stuff. When I start thinking bad about me, you know what I hear in my head? And I know I'm quirky. I hear voices go off. You don't have to tell me that. They go off all the time. But the voice I hear is the voice of Father God saying, don't talk about my kid that way. See, I talk about his kid all the time. You just can't do this, Trisha. You know, you don't deserve to do this. You are mentally crazy. Jack died and all these things. Da, 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 da. Begin to listen to what everybody else was saying instead of the voice of what he was saying about me. And you're going to love this. If his thoughts can't be recounted. Got that? Everybody say, let me know you got that. His thoughts toward you can't be recounted. How can he think about 2. however many billion or 7. However many billions of people? Because whether you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior or not, you're still his creation. So how can he have that many thoughts about all of us? I don't know. There's sovereignty. There's the sovereign God when we don't understand the things he can do. And so now let's move on to 1 Corinthians 13:4 in 2 translations. You know what that says? Love thinks no evil. All right. Listen. His thoughts about you can't be recounted. And love thinks no evil. So his thoughts about you are never evil. He set that boundary around himself. But you see, the religion don't want you to know that, Father. Religion wants you to obey a God. Again, you love somebody, you just want to be an extension of who they are. Nobody has to tell me to serve my Father. I just want to. I just want to be an extension of who he is. I want people to really mean it when they say Trisha's nice. Even those people that know me intimately. I want to example that. I really and truly do. So you got that. He thinks about you all the time, and his thoughts towards you are never evil. All right, let's take it one more. Psalms 45. Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works. Yeah, we get that. Which you have done, and your thoughts toward us again can't be recounted. Guys, get this revelation. If you get a hold of this revelation, it'll stop you dead in your tracks when you try to think an orphan thought about you or somebody else. Will you ever do it again? Of course you will. You will. No, Psalms 40, verse 5. All right. And then the last scripture I want to give you is Jeremiah 29:11. When you think there's no plan. Because here's what it says. I know the thoughts. Now, what are thoughts? They can't be recounted, and they're never evil. So he knows that he never thinks an evil thought about you. He has thoughts about you all the time. And then he goes on to say, out of those thoughts, I know the plan. Wow. The plan is this. The plan is for your welfare, your peace. It's not for evil. It's to give you hope for your final outcome. This is the God I'm serving now. This is the God I'm loving. This is my Father. You know what? I get criticized for making him too familiar all the time. But if I've got to err on one side or the other, I'm going to err on the side of grace. I'm going to err on the side of grace. Father God will correct me. You know, he'll show me what I'm doing wrong. If I'm praying that scripture, if I'm not listening to law. Father God created all creation for him. See, you don't own you. You belong to him. Anybody in here do Facebook? If you don't, get on Facebook and friend me. I love Facebook. It's how I keep up with people. You know, but have you ever done those little Facebook quizzes? The other day I did the Facebook quiz of what Bible character are you? And I thought I was going to be Esther. You know, Queen Esther, deliverer of her people, you know. Well, guess who I was? It wasn't Jezebel. Thank God. Wasn't her. Yeah. No, I was David. I'm a girl. How do I get to be David? And I thought, well, that's pretty good. That's pretty impressive. King David. But then, you know, as soon as you get off in pride, see, here's the loving heart of a father. As soon as you step into your pride, King David, oh, that's good, you know. I mean, because I do know my authority. I do want to whatever. But the Lord immediately by his spirit said, do you know why David was a man after my own heart? He was a murderer. He was an adulterer. He sinned big time. He had his best friend killed so he could marry his best friend's wife. That's who David was. David was a sinner of all sinners. He was a scoundrel. But you know what the Bible says? Is that he was passionate. He was a man after God's heart. And I looked up the word passion. Passion means in pursuit of something. Father God, according to Galatians 5:17, Father God is constantly in pursuit of you. That Bible right there said, that verse right there says, he has intense cravings for relationship with you. You ever think about God up there? I mean, I always thought he had a list. Make sure I was checking it off. He's up there just, Trisha, we're going to have time together today. Trisha, I just want to be with you. Uh-oh, Trisha, you're fixing to step into it. He has intense cravings for relationship with you. I want to respond to those cravings. See, it is good. Religion didn't teach me this stuff. It was revelation in relationship that taught me how to live this stuff. And again, I'm not the same person I used to be. I used to be David the murderer. I would murder you in my heart in a skinny minute as soon as I walk in a room, especially in places. And I love Evangel. This is not a negative toward Evangel. But when you've got 11 staff members, and you guys might not have done it, but the rest of us did, constantly in competition. Yeah, once or twice. Once or twice. I don't compete with anybody anymore because my daddy... Here's another definition for 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love thinks no evil. In the Passion Translation, it says love is large. Okay, I get that. But, you know, I'm going to tell you, get you a dictionary, too. You need a dictionary with your Bible. That definition of large means more than the amount of the container's ability to hold it. That's how much you're loved. He loves you more than he has the ability to contain it within himself. If love is large. Everybody say, love is large. Love is large. And he loves you largely. See, this is why this message is so, so important. Because when we can love the world this way, when we can stop seeing and, you know, I'm done with playing church. You know, these guys are done with playing church. I'm done with judging people. I just want to go and just find my relationship with Daddy. And just be his little girl. And as I'm his little girl in that kind of relationship with him, guess what? I get to go to Martinsville, Virginia. I get to go next week with Paul Young. I get to go a month from now and be with Brian Simmons. Well, Trisha, you're bragging. He's a trashing. Well, anyway, he's whatever. It's not about being with a name. It's about being with like-minded people who love God the way I do. That's why I'm excited about being here. That's why I'll go anywhere. You know, I am in churches of 2,000s. A couple of weeks ago, I was in a church of 2,000 people. I go to camps. I go all kinds of things. I go to churches of 30. Last weekend, I was in a church of 100. Size isn't the issue. It's God's kids. Who is it that's hungry enough? Because here's the deal, guys. If you're not hungry enough, you're not going to get this. It's going to ride over you. And you're just, and I don't mean this condemning at all. It's just truth. It's just the truth. It's going to go right over you. And the next assignment, you're going to judge. You're going to do whatever. And the Lord's called us all to love the way he loves. How on earth can I love never thinking a negative thought about somebody? You can't. But you can position yourself to continue to try. As you catch that fox, put him in a box. And throw that thing away. Throw that key away. It's the simplicity of being someone like David. See, here's the deal. People get tired and so many people give up on themselves and other people. and they just give up. But here's the deal. Andy Andrews says this. I love to read, so I love to read all kinds of authors. And Andy Andrews is a guy that writes a lot of stories, Christian stories, kind of like Harlequin romances, but they're Christian stories and stuff like that. And Andy Andrews says this. The tragedy in a man's life is not that he quits. Anybody in here ever want to quit? Yeah. Not just for a day or two, but forever. Thank you for your honesty.
Amen.
It's not... The tragedy is not that you wanted to quit. The tragedy is you almost win before you start your next act. The tragedy is we get right on the edge and we give up. Right on the edge of winning. And then we give up and so we quit. I understand that. We give up because we embrace lies and word curses spoken over us. And when you listen to lies more than you listen to truth, an orphan mindset is developed. And you'll start walking down this path of negativity. You'll start walking down a path where you'll believe more in the lies about you and other people than you do, than you believe in the truth. And so an orphan mindset is created. A spiritual orphan is a feeling that no one in our lives, there's no one in your life to support you, to care for you, and to give supervision over your direction. But you see, we get tired. Anybody in here just get tired of life? I mean, you got kids, they always have problems. This is going on. There's the church, the ministry, You know, that's why I start my day every day. I won't let anybody bother me until two things happen. Coffee with frothed cream on top and sugar crystals and my time with God. My time with God. Trisha, that's legalistic. No, it's not. It's what gets me up in the morning. Amen. It absolutely, you don't have to do it that way. Find your own whatever. But for me, that's what happens. Because life is overwhelming. And it's too easy to step back into feeling like nobody cares. Nobody's there for me. I've been abandoned. Jack's dead. But see, that's why I have to put those thoughts. He'll never leave me nor abandon me. You know, he loves me more than there's numbers to count how much he thinks about me. And as you replace the lie with the truth, guess what? Sooner or later, 51% of the time, you're walking in the truth. And when people walk in the truth, you're going to be sniffed. People will be attracted to you because people honestly are attracted to love. It's only religious, law-based people that are offended by love. We can change it. We can turn it around. And I believe that with all of my heart. But I understand being overwhelmed. Let's see how much time I got. 6 more minutes. And then we're going to take a break. Well, here's the deal. I understand being tired. In fact, in come August, the middle of August, I'm taking a 6-month sabbatical from all travel. I mean, I'm still going to be ministering to pastors. I'm still going to be writing and teaching. I'm just not going to be on the road. So you guys got me before that happened. So I'm taking a rest because I'm tired. And instead of being mad at God, I'm just going to take a rest. But there was a time in my life right after Jack died that trying to figure out the ministry was so overwhelming. I turned in my resignation to Shiloh Place. Wrote it out. My board wouldn't accept it. But I was so tired, I quit. Have you done that? Not yet. No. I quit. But here's the difference. Here's the deal. You know what the meaning of resigned means? Some of you might want to cover your ears. Those of you who are ready to quit, you're ready to resign. The meaning of resign means this, to unreservedly commit yourself to something. Dang it. Dang it. I'm resigned to the fact that I will live my life as a son, daughter. So I can't quit. You know why I can't quit? Because there's the word again. Not just God, but it's the word. The word, the word. 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20 says this. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Uh-oh. So you don't have the power to make that decision. You don't belong to you. You're his. And when we surrender, Hebrews 12:9, submit to the mission of the Father and live. You will live. And here's the deal, guys. I live a wonderful life. I really and truly do. And it's got nothing to do with how much I have or any of that kind of stuff. It has to do with you and Katie and all these people that I live in community with. And the more daily assignments I give, because when I leave here, I want somebody next week to shoot me an email saying, my life changed this weekend. I finally got it. And you don't have to have a V8. Finally got it. I finally caught the thing that's been keeping me in a situational circumstance. And for so many people, it's as simple as an ungodly belief. We got a book out there. We have a book for everything. I didn't live 63 years for nothing, is all I gotta say. So we have a book out there. I know I don't look 63, do I? I don't feel 63. I can't believe I'm 63 years old. But I am. But there's so much experiential knowledge in these 63 years that's helping the world. And it's restoring families. And it's helping people believe that no matter what you've done, that you're loved just the way you are right now. And that love will change you as you surrender and submit to love. Love motivates us to change. You bringing me a list doesn't do anything but make me want to throat punch you. I can't live your list. I've tried. Ask my son. My son's a state trooper. And you know what we do together for fun? You know, I mean, he's 38 years old. He's a big old muscular guy. He's not a police officer. He's a state trooper. There's a big difference. There, boy, is a big difference. And so in being a state trooper, what we do for fun is we go shooting. We get our guns, and we go shooting. So one time I was out there, he was trying out these three guns. I know I'm making a little sidestep, but hey, we were trying out these three guns. But see, this is relationship. Me as a mother, I don't like the fact that my son's a trooper. Every day he positions himself to protect you. And most of the time, we don't care. And we're always fighting against the people that, you know, have to make split-second decisions. So don't even talk to me about it. I will throat punch you if you get on. So anyway, he's trying out these three guns on me because he's like, Mom, you don't need to live by yourself. You need to get a dog, which I have a 90-pound American bulldog, and you don't mess with me. But you don't mess with my grandbabies either. He will take your head off if you get even too close. But yet he will never touch one of those grandbabies. Lick him in the face and whatever. But anyway, he's got these three guns, and he wanted to take me to this shooting range, and we've done it several times, to try out his new gun. You know, he's the trooper. He's on a special ops team, and he has AKs. And, you know, when drug cartels come into town, Mike is the one who gets a phone call, get your AK and come on, stuff like that. So he brings me, and he has these three guns, and he wants me to try out these three guns. Actually, he wants me to buy a new gun so he can have my old one. I figured this out. So we go shooting. And he's telling me all the reasons why I can't da 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 da. And so on all three guns, I mean, he had me a 45 mag something another. It's so big I could barely get my finger around that trigger, down to a 9mm. I love that little 9mm. I could blow somebody's brains out with that 9mm and do it really good. So Micah sets me up, he thinks, for failure so that he could protect me. You should have seen that thing when it came back in. I mean, he put the target as far away as he could put it. When that thing came back in, there was all kind of circles. All mine were in that center circle. I looked at him. I said, take that. Can I kill somebody? Heck yeah. Heck yeah. In a skinny minute, you mess with a child, and if I've got a gun, I'll blow your brains out. You don't hurt a child. But I wouldn't do that. I'll get you saved first. You better give your heart to Jesus Christ because your soul to Jesus Christ because you belong to me right now. Now, I'm 63 years old. I ain't going to do anything like that. I'm just cutting up. But what I'm saying is that a father will love you and protect you. And he'll take care of you. And he'll do his best not to let the enemy harm you. As long as you're willing. As long as you're willing. And see, I'm willing. I'm tired of life any other way. I'm willing to submit to love, not control. My friend Jason Clark just wrote a new book and I loved it. He asked me to do the foreword for it. You know Jason? I love Jason. Great guy. Well, anyway, I just did a ride around video. Got to go look it up. We got in the car and did one of those ride around video things. It was fun. But anyway, he wrote a book called God is in Control. And in the parentheses, not. Because you see, we want God to be in, we think, well, God's in control of the universe. God is in control of what we give him in our lives to control. He can't, he's sovereign, he can be in control, but he's not. He's a gentleman. And as we surrender, as we submit our hearts to him, we go from being an orphan-minded person to a person, a son. Well, you're already a son. Here's the deal. We're not on the quest to get back sonship. If you've given your heart to Jesus Christ, you can't lose that unless you kick him out. So we're not on a quest for that. We're on a quest to restore your relationship with a loving Father.